Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Human impulses are very strong sometimes. They seem to be in control, as if our mind is on vacation. It may even get to the point where we end up doing what we want and not what we ought. Isaac had two sons, one with a strong impulse to just look at the immediate, while the other looked beyond the moment. Here's the story in Genesis 25, verses 19 through 34. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew. And Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The central question we have in this little piece of history from about 4,000 years ago is a question we still have today. What things really have value in life? This is a simple story. We have a set of twins, paternal twins, not identical. Those twins are fighting one another even in the womb. Rebekah, the mom, is fit to be tied. She goes to God for an explanation. God explains that there are two different ways of thinking, two nations striving against one another within her womb. They represent expediency versus intrinsic value. The children are born. The sibling rivalry continues and the parents get involved. One is a mama's boy and one is a papa's boy. They always seem to be striving with one another. One ends up doing hunting and fishing and living off the land. The other sits at home and doing tasks around the house. That's the idea. But there is this struggle, and it may be a spiritual struggle dealing with the very basic question about being a human being and life itself. Remember the central question: what things really have value in life? This brings up the matter of choice. If one values something, and if that something is a touchstone in one's life, then hard decisions become much easier because they have a deciding factor that helps in the decision process. So let's look at the big picture. We have God creating the heavens and the earth. Mankind and the Garden of Eden are put together by God about 6,000 to 7,000 years ago. Everything is in good condition, and mankind has an idyllic environment. God's enemy Satan enters the picture, entices mankind into sin, and the whole universe is knocked off kilter. Mankind is expelled from the Garden of Eden, and there is a long period where violence builds on violence until the time of Noah. God declares that he has had enough of this mankind problem. He sends the great flood of Genesis. Only Noah and his family survive. They repeople the earth. Abraham is the great, 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 great grandson of Noah. He is the man the Bible calls the friend of God, and he lives about 4,000 years ago. The two twin boys are Abraham's grandchildren. That is very significant. Remember, mankind was thrown out of the Garden of Eden and has been alienated from God, and much of mankind is actually destroyed by this flood. Abraham's heart was for God, not against God. Our Heavenly Father promises Abraham that there would be a Savior for mankind born from Abraham's offspring. That Savior will reconcile mankind to God. What was broken in Eden will be restored. Mankind and God will be reconciled. Well, Esau and Jacob relate to the promise to Abraham. And the struggle we see between Esau and Jacob is really descriptive of the problem mankind has in making wise choices, of respecting one another and respecting our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that you and I have a bad heart, an evil heart that is desperately wicked. So, two children with bad hearts and a promise from God to Abraham lie behind the story. 4,000 years ago, people's understanding of God related to honor or respecting God. People learned about God from one another, from talking. We call it the oral tradition. 3,000 years ago, God gave the Jewish people the Ten Commandments through Moses. No longer was there just an oral tradition, but also a written tradition. The writings relating to the Ten Commandments became what the Bible calls the law. Both the oral tradition and the law had to do with attitudes toward God and how to honor Him. There was concern about our relationship with one another also, again relating to respect. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came. He called on people to respect God, but He put in a special emphasis on love. We are not talking physical love or family love here. Jesus was talking about agape love, selfless love, love that expects nothing in return. How much selfless love? Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross. That's selfless love. That is big time selfless love. And it was for us. Well, back to Esau and Jacob. There is no honor or respect in their relationship to one another. I will be first is their attitude. There is no love. You don't count is their attitude. There is only disharmony and discord. I will beat you out and climb over you is their attitude. So look at what Jacob does. He takes advantage of his brother. Satan in the Garden of Eden took advantage of our first parents. He continues to take advantage of us, the first people, the offspring of Adam and Eve before the flood, took advantage of one another. God had to have an answer for our bad hearts. It was Jesus Christ. Real people make real choices. The Bible gives us real history. The Bible tells us that we need a real answer, a real Savior. We need Jesus, the very example of the love of God, but we need him in our lives. Jacob did not love, but God used this and other events in Jacob's life to teach him and show him God's way. Jacob was an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He learned what the Bible wants to reveal to each of us. God will teach those who seek him. Jacob was on his own, doing his own thing, but God found him. We would say God found him out. The promise of God's word is that God will find you. We know that because of God's promise to the man of faith, God's friend Abraham, and to his spiritual offspring. Our Heavenly Father sent Jesus Christ from Abraham's very family line to show us the way. So Jacob uses food to take what is rightly his brother's. Esau does not value what is his God-given right. The result is alienation and separation. But God uses these events to teach Jacob the importance of family responsibility and family rights. He also teaches Jacob during his lifetime the necessity that we honor one another as well as God. Jesus Christ brought us a fuller knowledge of our Heavenly Father, but God was preparing a human family for God the Son. And in this little piece of history, we see that Jesus comes from a very human family with the same problems that human family members have today, getting along with one another. Praise the Lord that Jesus has shown us the way to solid human relationships by his death on the cross and willingness to serve his human family. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you got a Bible? No? Give us a call at 945-1076 for a complimentary paperback New King James Version Bible. Have you got a child going into the first to sixth grades? We will have a day camp Bible school running from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. the week of July 21 to 25. Give us a call at 945-1076 for information. We are limited to only 50 children, so first registered, first enrolled. God bless you.